All right, it is now time for Children's Church. If we have any children six and under that want to go, y'all can head this way. Thank you, Jennings and Macy and Choir, for those good songs. And we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. That's in the New Testament, kind of close toward the middle of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. We'll read through the text, then we will pray and get started. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade away. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today. We thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would just help me as I preach and teach this morning. I pray that I would grow in your word, that each one of us here would grow in your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be in this place, dear Lord. There are no good words that I can speak that will come from me. So, dear Lord, I pray that every word today comes from you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our ears and open our heart to hear from you today. God, you know what's going on in our life. You know our worries, our fears, our distractions today. And I pray that you would free us of those things in these next few minutes. I pray that you would just help us to hear your word and to grow in your word. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul had just talked about in the verses before this his duty, his job, what he longed to do, and that was share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody he could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. And he had said in the verses before, look, I'll become all things to all people so that some may come to know the Lord. And Paul said, whatever it takes, I'm going to do. Whatever it takes for the kingdom of God, I'm going to do. Whatever I have to be. If I'm around Jews, I'll live like the Jews. If I'm around Gentiles, I'll live like the Gentiles. I'll be what I need to be to reach those that I need to reach. Now, it's not that Paul was changing who he was, but there are times that you have to understand the people you're trying to reach. And there are some things in our life that we do or don't do that are of no real significance. But if there's something that we do that's of no real significance, that may hinder someone else from listening to the gospel message that we want to share with them, then maybe there are some things we can do to change ourselves so that maybe people will pay attention to us and listen to us. And so Paul says, whatever it takes, within reason, it's not sinful in any way, whatever it takes, I'm going to do for the gospel. I'm going to do so that people will hear about Jesus Christ. But what Paul recognizes is that to live for Jesus Christ and to share the gospel and to do the work of the gospel is not easy. It is not easy. Now, I would venture to say that everybody in here that's a Christian today, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'll go on a limb and I'll say that probably everyone who's a Christian would say that it's not easy. Now, it is pretty easy to live for the world because the world doesn't really judge you for anything these days. You pretty much can do anything that you'd like to do, and you can do it, and if it makes you feel good, you're probably not going to think twice about it, and whatever makes me happy is good with me. And that's the worldly way to do things. And in many ways, that is really easy to do. Now, that's not to say that there's not some guilt and shame there. There probably is, even when we're living for the world. But to live for the Lord is not easy. Now, it's beautiful. It's wonderful in so many ways. It brings great joy and great blessing in our life. But it's not easy. Because now when those things that we are tempted to do, we are aware in God's Word that God's Word said this is not a good thing. Well, now there's this battle that ensues because there's this fleshly part of us that wants to do the things of the world. But then there's the Holy Spirit within us that's this convicting us, and we have the Word of God that guides and instructs us. And so there's difficulty sometimes because some of the things that God's Word calls us to are difficult. Because there are some pleasures of this world that we enjoy in the flesh, but God's Word may say that's a sinful thing. It's not healthy for you. There are certainly plenty of things in this world that we are tempted by. There are things in this world that God says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That to me is probably one of the most difficult commands, because our natural human tendency is we want to lash out at those that do us wrong. And so God's Word is full of things that are difficult for us to live by and that are hard, and it takes a lot of endurance. It really takes us seeking God and praying to God and being in good spiritual shape to run the race that is before us. And that's kind of what Paul is talking about here, that our Christian walk, that our life in Christ is a race. And the moment that we begin to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to live for you, Lord, and not for myself, then we enter into that race. The moment that we say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior who can cleanse me of my sins, and I will follow Him from this point forward. The moment we say that, we have entered the race. We have become part of God's family. We have entered into the kingdom of God. And here in these verses we look at today, Paul is talking about that very idea. Doing the work. It's hard. You do whatever you have to do the work of the Lord. And in verse 24, he says, don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race? So we're all in a race today. Some are racing for the kingdom of God, and some are racing for the kingdom of Satan. We're all in a race today. Our lives are racing and running and going somewhere, but the question is, what are you running to? What race are you in? Are you in a race to meet your own desires and to do what's right for you and to live for the flesh? Or are you in the race of running for the kingdom of God, to represent the kingdom of God, for the glory of God? So we all are in a race, but what does he say? But only one receives the prize. Now, in the case of Christians, praise the Lord, that all that would be part of the winning team will win the prize. There's two teams. We can run for Team Jesus or we can run for Team Satan. But there's only one team that's going to win. Spoiler alert, it's going to be Team Jesus, because he's already won. The day that Jesus Christ would nail to a cross, the day that he gave his life for you and me, the day that God raised him from the dead, Jesus has won. Praise the Lord. That's good news for us today, that we can choose today to follow Jesus and to say, I am going to run with Jesus Christ who gave everything for me. And that is the winning team. Now, we live in a world that says, oh, there's lots of ways to heaven, and oh, God's not gonna judge us for this, that, and the other. Oh, God, he's good, he's gracious, and he's going to do this, that, and the other. But God's Word tells us clearly that it is only through Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. There is no other way. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved than that of Jesus Christ. There are no shortcuts. The only way that we will spend eternity with God in heaven is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to run the race with endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we all are running the race today. But the question is, are you going to win the prize today? The prize is to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. It's to spend an eternity in the presence of God. It's to spend an eternity without pain and without suffering and without fear and without worry and without death. That is the prize. Praise the Lord. So Paul says we're all running, but only one is going to win the prize. What does he say at the end of the verse? Run in a way to win the prize. There's only one group that's going to win, and that is those who are following Jesus. So he says, therefore, run in a way to win the prize. And what about us today? Are we running in a way in which we are going to win the prize today? Are we running aimlessly? He says that later on in verse 26. He says in verse 26, therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly. Are we running aimlessly today? What would it mean to run aimlessly? Well, I think it would mean to run aimlessly would be running for the things of the world, chasing after the things of the world, running with no real end in sight, no real goal in sight. The only goal is I'm going to run for myself, and whatever makes me happy, I'm going to just run. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I don't have a destination. I don't know what I'm running for. I don't know what I'm running to. I'm just going to run. A good example of that would be Forrest Gump. You ever seen Forrest Gump before? I think it was right after Jenny died. And what did he do? He just struck out, just took out running. And ran for what, like 5 years or something, I think he ran? He just run. Five times back and forth across these United States. Until eventually one day, he just stopped in the middle of the road and he said, I'm tired, I think I'm going home now. He was running aimlessly. He didn't have anywhere to go. He didn't have anything on his mind. He just took out running. And maybe that's some of us today. Maybe some of you today have just been running through life aimlessly. You don't know where your destination is. You don't know what you're running for. You're just stressed. You're just overwhelmed. Life is too much. You're just running. You're just trying to get away. You're trying to escape. You don't know what you're going. You don't know what you're doing. But there may be some of you here today, and like Forrest Gump, you say, I am tired. Well, today I've got good news for you. Today you can stop running aimlessly, and you can run into the arms of Jesus Christ. You can run in a way that is going to net you the prize of eternal life. And so many times we get caught up in this world because the prizes of this world look so good that we run to this prize and we run to that prize. Have y'all ever played those games? It's like the glass case. It's got all the stuffed animals, and you put, well, nowadays it's about $5 you put in there, and you can use the claw, and you can go down, you can win, and you'll spend $25, and you'll be like, I'm going to get this stuffed animal, and you finally win the stuffed Sonic the Hedgehog, and you get it, and it was like 5 cents and made in China, and you put all that energy and all that time and all that effort into it, and you finally reach down there, and you get it, and you realize you ain't got nothing. You finally get the prize, and you realize the prize, and you say, what am I going to do with this? And then the first kid you see, you say, hey, you want this? And that's what the world is to us. We see all this stuff in the world, and boy, it looks good. It looks like it's really something. It's on the other side of the glass. We'll do whatever we do. We'll keep trying to grab it, and we grab it, and we grab it, and we get it, and we finally get it. And then we realize we don't have anything. And so we need to focus our eyes today on a better prize. We need to try to obtain today a better prize. We need to make sure we are those who are running today as those who are going to win the prize. And that is forgiveness of our sins and eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So what does he say in verse 25? He says, now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. What's he saying there? He's saying to be able to run the race, you've got to be in shape. It's going to take some self-control. It's going to take some determination. It's going to take you to really be focused on what you're trying to do. Now, does anybody know what tonight is? Super Bowl. There you go. Tonight is the Super Bowl. And there are going to be 106 men out there playing in that Super Bowl. And they are all going to be in tip-top shape. And they have been working out since they was in peewee football, most of them. And they have been training, and they have been eating right. And they read books to increase their inner excellence so that they can do all that they can do. And they try, and they try, and they prepare all they can. And they've beaten all the other teams, and there are two left. And tonight they will play, but there will only be one who is victorious. At the end of the night tonight, there's either going to be green confetti or red confetti falling. Hopefully it's going to be green. We'll pray for you. Hopefully tonight there's going to be green confetti. But there's only going to be one who's going to win the prize. And if we want to be those who are going to win the prize, we have to be like a runner. People that go to the Olympics, people that make it to the Super Bowl, newsflash, they're not sitting around eating potato chips all the time watching TV. They're just not. Now, here's the thing with us. Here's our struggle. Because we see people that are healthy, or we see people that are successful in a lot of ways, and we say, I want to be like them. And I'll say, well, great, you can be like them. Here's what you need to do. You need to change your diet. You need to change everything you do. You need to start saving money. You need to start doing X. Well, I don't want to do that. I just want to be rich and famous and an awesome athlete. Well, you can't be one without the other. We ever see people in our life that are like, I'm talking about strong Christian men or women, like men and women of faith, and we read their stories and we say, golly, I want to be like them. It's okay. You want to be like them? Spend 50 hours a week in God's Word. Spend 30 hours a week in prayer. Put others as more important than yourself. I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. I want to be that man or woman of faith that's strong, that lives for God, that does all these great things for the kingdom. Well, I don't actually want to put any effort into it. But we can't have one without the other. We can't be strong men and women of faith that live for God and serve God and do great things for the kingdom of God if we are not in spiritual shape. And that's what Paul is saying. You are in the midst of a race. And if you are running this race for God, then you better make sure that you are in good shape. You better make sure that you are not running aimlessly. You better make sure that you're eating good spiritually. You better make sure that you're not putting junk into your body. You better make sure that you're in the Word of God. You better make sure that you're in prayer. You better make sure that you're seeking God first. You better make sure that you love others. And if we are not doing those things and making it a point to doing those things, then we are spiritually unfit. And how long will we be able to run the race? Not very long. It takes time. It takes a long time. People who run marathons and people who make it to the Olympics and people who make it to the Super Bowl, they are in the shape they are because they have worked and they have worked and they have worked to prepare themselves for the task at hand. And so what about us? Those who have entered into the kingdom of God. Those who are part of the race. Are we making every effort to make sure that our bodies and our souls, our spirits are ready to do the work of God? Are we willing today to put the work in? Maybe we are, or maybe we're not. Maybe you say, I'm not quite ready for that. I'll come and sit on this pew for an hour on Sunday mornings, listen to a few songs and preaching. But if I don't get anything out of that, well, that's all I'm willing to do. Well, that's a good place to start, praise the Lord. But if we really want to grow, then it's going to require us to seek God every day and to seek His Word. That's how we're going to grow. And there'll be some today that aren't willing to put any work into it. But we need to pray that God would help our heart to change and our attitude to change, that we would be those who are willing to put the work in for the kingdom of God. He said, now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away. Okay, so look, he acknowledges in this world, tonight somebody's going to hoist that Super Bowl trophy, that shiny silver, Tiffany silver trophy, and it's going to glisten in those lights, and it's beautiful. It's going to be beautiful, and they're going to kiss it, and they're all going to just have such a great time with that trophy. But guess what's going to happen to that trophy? It's going to be tarnished. It's not going to be of any importance whatsoever. We look at these Olympic athletes. Boy, they train. And they get that gold medal. They always eat. I don't know why they buy them. I don't know why they buy them. I got a gold medal. But they get these things, and this gold medal is beautiful, and it's shiny, or you get a silver, or even a bronze. That's something to cherish. That you can be the third best in the world at anything, that's pretty phenomenal. Sometimes we, you know, we're so foolish, we see people say, well, the U.S., they only got bronze in that race. Are you kidding me? That means they were the third fastest person in the world in that race. But even a bronze medal or a silver medal or a gold medal, it's going to fade away. It's not going to have any significance. Back in the old days in the Olympics, which Paul would have been familiar with these games that they would have had in Corinth or Athens or these other games that they would have had, the prize for winning would have been a crown that would have been placed on their head. It would have been a crown of olive branches, olive leaves, or in Corinth sometimes it would have been pine branches, and that's what would have been placed on your head. And that would have symbolized that you were victorious, that you have won. Now, in our day, we don't put crowns on our athletes anymore. We give them medals and trophies and whatnot. But in Paul's day, this illustration would have fit perfect. Because those who were going to run the race in those days, when the victory was won, they would receive a crown. But how long is a crown made of olive branches going to last? It's not going to last very long. Soon it will become brittle and dead, and that will be the end of that. And Paul says, they do it in a way to receive a crown that will fade away. But of our race that we run for the Lord, Paul says, but we a crown that will never fade away. So Paul says, look, you guys get it. You see the best athletes around. You see how they work. And you see that there is a reward that they receive. And Paul says, then how much more so should we who are on Team Jesus run the race to serve the Lord, knowing that we too will receive victory in the end. So Paul says, get ready. Make sure you're in spiritual shape. We see this language about crowns frequently in the New Testament. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life. We see different crowns that are mentioned. Now, I don't know what those crowns are going to look like. I don't think that we're going to have physical crowns that we're going to wear when we get into the presence of God. Maybe we will. But I believe that this is symbolic language. That when we receive our crown of righteousness or crown of glory or crown of life, that it's saying you have received these things, that you have been made righteous through Jesus Christ, that you've received life through Jesus Christ, that we are in the glory of God, that we are victorious. That crown represents authority and it represents victory. And I think it's symbolic language that tells us that if we run the race, if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we will receive a crown. That is, we will receive the victory and all that comes through that victory through Jesus Christ. So how are you running today? Are you just in the rat race of this world? Man, it's tough if you are. Maybe you don't know the Scripture. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you are just running aimlessly today. Well, if I could, I'd like to shift your focus to Jesus Christ this morning, to give you someone to run toward, to give you hope to run toward, to give you love to run toward, to give you forgiveness to run toward, to give you one who has lived his life in such a way to give you an example to run toward. If you're just running aimlessly today, Jesus Christ wants you to run to Him today so that your sins may be forgiven. And maybe there are some of us today and we entered the race and we got our number, but that's as far as we got. We got to the registration table and then when we got on the track and we made it 100 yards, we said, this is tough. And we've gotten lazy in our walk with God. And sometimes that happens. And we want to be those today that are refreshed, that we would ask God to show us the areas where we fail, that we would begin to put the work in today, that we would begin to seek God, that we would begin to crawl and we'd begin to walk so that we could begin to run for the kingdom of God. The question is today, how are you running? And will you be victorious at the end of the race? Well, I can tell you, you won't be if you don't follow Jesus Christ. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today and you run with Him and you run for Him, then there will be victory for all of eternity. So don't lose hope. Don't give up. Run with your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your good word. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just help us. I pray that you would help those today, God, that maybe they don't know you. They don't know of Jesus Christ. They've never asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They've never asked for their sins to be forgiven. They've never repented, dear Lord, as your word commands us to do. I pray today that if there are any that have just been running aimlessly, that maybe today the Holy Spirit is working on their heart, that today they would confess their sins, that they would repent, dear Lord, that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to know that they are loved, that their sins have been forgiven, dear Lord, that they have a point to life, that they have something to run for now. God, maybe there are some in here today and they are yours, but maybe they have not been running like it. And dear Lord, sometimes instead of running to you, we're running in the other direction, and that's not a good place for us to be. So I pray, God, that you'd be with us. Maybe we've become a little lazy in our attitudes, or lazy in our time with you, lazy in listening to you and responding to you, lazy in caring for other people. God, I pray that you would help us to do what we need to do to seek you and to draw closer to you, that you would help us to be in better shape, dear Lord, that you'd begin to restore our souls today, that you'd restore our minds today, God, that we would be those who realize that we are running a race, the most important race in our life. God, it is not always easy to live in this life. There are plenty of things that are difficult and hard, and trusting in Jesus does not make those things go away. But it does make them a little easier, dear Lord, to know that Jesus has run the race and he has been victorious. And he is here to run with us if we would just trust him, dear Lord. That God, we have victory through Jesus, that he conquered sin, that he conquered death. And God, that even when we fail, that there is mercy and that there is grace. So I pray, God, that we come to you today and receive your grace. That we would all seek you. That we would all seek to grow in you. That we would be found faithful, dear Lord, as those who are running for your kingdom and running to do your work. And even when it's difficult, God, that we would be the men and the women that we need to be to do your will. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and sing, if God has spoken to you in some way today, now is your chance to respond. If you need prayer, come up front. I'll be glad to pray for you this morning. Maybe you made that decision today that you decided you wanted to run for Jesus today. I pray that you'd come down and let us know that we can baptize you this morning as God's word commands. But if God has spoken to you in some way today, now is your chance to respond to him. Part of the group that is going to make meals for Mr. Paul and Miss Linda, please hang out up front here for a minute. Michelle's going to give y'all some instructions, let everybody figure out who's going to do what day. So please hang out for a few minutes after the service to do that. Michelle, would you close us with a prayer, please?
Father God, we love you.